I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. Dude, you cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.
Episode 104, baby. Get into it. Let's go. Where do you think people are listening from? Somebody texted me this week, or they sent an email, and they said, we drive an hour back and forth to church every week.
They're pre-gaming church with Net Positive? Is that good?
I think so.
I think that's good.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a fun way to start the morning.
Yeah, so I like imagine everybody listening is like a truck driver. Or like maybe, but I guess you couldn't be a mom and listen to the podcast.
Why not?
I mean, you're doing stuff, other stuff.
Yeah.
You waiting to
throw it on.
Yeah. I just imagine, wait, we're coming into everybody's environment. Where are we coming into?
Yeah. Probably mostly headphones, I would guess.
Yeah.
You think so?
At work, maybe. People were listening to the pod at work.
When I was a 9-to-5 guy, dude, I was crushing podcasts at work.
Baby. Oh, yeah, dude. Either way, wherever you're at, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. John Christ in the studio. Alex Lagos is here.
Hello.
What up, brother?
Brother.
Tour dates coming up. Dayton, Ohio this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Lexington, Kentucky. Month of May, we only got 3 shows. Lincoln, Nebraska. Des Moines, Iowa. Grand Forks, North Dakota, June, we in Williamsport, PA. That's a new show that's added. Baltimore, Maryland, Newark, New Jersey, New Haven, Connecticut. What is this, the Northeast? Then we're going to the Northwest, Portland, Tacoma, and Spokane, Washington, baby. I don't think we can't announce those shows yet.
They're on your website.
Are they?
Yep.
They're on the website. We announced we're doing a new tour in the fall before we got to have new material because this tour is done.
Right.
So we're going to 3 comedy clubs in September.
So whole new act.
All new.
Nice.
And this is where the comedy clubs where you work it out.
Nice.
And these shows are unlike any. We're just shooting from the hip.
Because you're just playing around with stuff.
And they're the most fun.
Yeah.
By far the most fun. We're coming to 3 comedy clubs. 1, the Blue Room in Springfield, Missouri. 2, nice. I couldn't believe you found these.
I checked them out, man. They're on the website.
2, the Helium in Philly, which is one of my favorite comedy clubs anywhere. And then Appleton, Wisconsin, we are back. And then October, we're doing 2 shows in Shipshewana.
Obviously.
Let's go, baby. This week's episode brought to you by Blue Land.
Nice. Very nice.
Listen, Alex, I'm all for self-reflection and rethinking how I can make an impact.
Right.
Are you?
I definitely am.
Blue Land's podcasts are not just about tidying things up, but also cleaner, greener lifestyle by reducing plastic use. I got these things all over my house.
Same.
Each year, do you?
Yeah.
I got them everywhere. They look good, too.
They're great. They look great on the counter.
Who is this?
Yeah.
Nobody really comes over to my house except my girlfriend. But no, we had some guests.
We did. They were impressed.
Yeah. Each year, Americans throw away 25% more trash from Thanksgiving to New Year's. Wow. This year, let's turn New Year's resolutions into actions. Make a difference by switching to Blue Land, baby. Did you know that? Oh, shoot, I did it. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? That's more than people.
5 billion with a B?
That's wild. And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions to like Taylor Swift in her airplane. Come on. That's not part of the copy.
Current event slam.
Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine, ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet, baby. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastics. That's what they're all about, by reinventing cleaning essentials to better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful, cohesive design. That's true. They look great on your counter. I got one in my bathroom, my kitchen, and my bathroom. I got 2.
Do you have the laundry room one?
I got 3 bathrooms. And I'm gonna brag.
Nice, dude.
I do have that one, too.
Yeah.
The tablets?
Yep.
I'll be out of here. This shirt was probably cleaned by Blue Land.
Wow.
From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, laundry tablets, and Blue Land products make it with clean ingredients you can feel good about, baby. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/net positive. Don't miss it. blueland.com/net positive for 15% off. Or click the link in the episode description below. We out here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Big week for me, bro.
Yeah.
Big week.
Tell me about it.
Well, I had, okay. I got, the shows were wild, of course, as they always are.
Right.
There's always a lot of, you've been to a couple shows.
Yeah.
Always asking people in the crowd different types of things. And you never know what you're going to get back.
Right.
That's how you know it's a live show. Because I don't know these people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, do I know you? No. And then I usually get people to tell us about their experience with the a purity pledge. Mm. Did I do that show you went to?
Yeah. At the Ryman, I saw you do that one.
Yeah. So because people, if you didn't grow up like me, mm-hmm. If I say we all took this purity pledge, like people are like, what?
Yeah.
So I go, did anyone take one? Everybody raised their hand. I go, tell me about it.
Yep.
We don't know each other, right? And then they just go into it's all usually about from 11 to 14, and it's something at their church, and everybody commits to be a virgin until marriage, and it is. Man, it's awesome.
What do you think is the
favorite part of the show?
What do you think is the success rate on that?
Oh.
More or less than half.
That graduated?
That like
that's the joke. That's the joke of the show. Dude. Did you graduate? You just drop out.
Yeah. That's good. Did you get the degree or?
Yeah. Well, it seems like it's just like there's more. By like it's like telling a kid like you can have anything in the kitchen except the cookies, and you're like, well, what
them cookies like though?
Yeah, what's going on there? Yeah. They're like, I don't know. You can have a fruit roll ups and ice cream. You're like, yeah, but I want. There's a hyper fixation on that.
It's almost like I wish there was a Bible story that was kind of like that we could relate this to.
I thought the same thing, dude. I thought the same thing. I can't think of any. Can you?
Yeah, no, I can't. I just can't. I don't know.
Like, especially from the start.
Yeah, right.
At the beginning of the story.
Maybe just start at the beginning, see if we can find one.
I don't think I'd find it. I'd skip through. Yeah. I skipped through the first couple chapters to see if I look for it. I read the rest of it. I
just found nothing. It. Yeah.
Yeah. That's always a good part of the show. We went to Redding, California, which is the home of like Bethel Church.
Nice.
This is one of the biggest evangelical Christian, I don't know, movements or whatever you call it.
Great worship music coming out of there.
Great worship. I always, to my agents that they live in California, I'm always telling them about like these pockets of either like my type people.
Yeah.
And I go, if we're going out to the California, I go, send us up to Redding.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we sold that place out.
Nice.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
We're going to Indiana. I go, hey, send us to Shipshewana. Mm-hmm. And I think we're trying to get one in, we're trying to add a show in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Nice.
Where Liberty is.
Liberty is.
I go, let me come through.
You're doing their job for them.
Let me come through there, bro. Hey, put me into Liberty. Let me come through. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're debt free. So they got money to spend.
Debt free, baby. We did that. We had a show with Brad Paisley.
Yes. I saw the clips.
2 nights ago.
Tell me more.
So Brad is obviously big Brad Paisley fan. We talk about it in this podcast a little bit. They reached out about us helping with their fundraiser at Zany's, which is hilarious. So Brad, I do my set. It was great. Brad comes on, sings some songs. It's great. We do this thing on stage together. And this video will never be released. It will never be seen by the public. Mm-hmm. Not the one we posted. We collabed on one. So Brad, I would say, it's probably fair to say, it got in some hot water right after COVID. He did a song with the Ukrainian president.
Oh, Zelensky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember that?
Who's a comedian.
He was a comedian.
Right.
Yeah. He did I think the song was like same. Like,
got it.
We're neighbors. That was the basic
we
theme
are the world it. Type thing.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Great. And I might be speaking out of turn there, but I knew that song came out. And when you see someone else do that, you go, I'm going to the comments.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cause that's, you go, what? And so I knew that's about all I knew of that. I knew that existed.
Okay.
And when you're performing on your home territory, you do whatever you want. When you're on someone else, you're a guest on someone else's.
And so these are his fans in the building.
His fans. Yeah. So I'm thinking through my act and how would they feel about COVID? How would they feel about, I'm trying to get,
right.
I'm a guest, so I want to be fit in. So we come on stage together and we're talking to everybody, right? And this girl up front says something about something. She has an accent. And he goes, where are you from? And she goes, Russia. And We were like, we just could not be planned.
Yeah.
And you just go, Russia. And we both kind of like, it was, it's, I'll show you the video. And then everybody started to kind of get it. Mm-hmm. And this is like, that's a moment. This is the greatest advertisement for live stand-up comedy ever, because you got to go to it live.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, I have so many thoughts. I go, I have so many, because the part of my show is I got these thoughts up here, and sometimes I just say them. I go, I got so many things up here. And then I go, there was a guy whispering to another guy. And I was like, and he's explaining it.
Yep.
And then everybody died. And then I was like, yeah, Brad's friends with the Ukrainian president. Yeah. And everybody, the roof came off the place. And he has a joke about when you don't know what to talk about, you just go, it's one of his like parody songs. It's called sports, sports. So it was quiet for a second. Everybody's going nuts. All goes quiet. He goes, sports. It was one of the most unbelievable live moments I've ever experienced. I go, I cannot believe that.
That's incredible. So he's a funny guy.
Hilarious.
And we get into the episode too about him kind of.
Great sense.
There's some comedy to his music.
Gosh, it was so
good. I didn't realize it until we discussed it.
I didn't even think about that either.
That's really cool.
It's comedy. There's a lot of humor in it.
Yeah, you said like there's a lot of like he's kind of setting it up, and then there's the punch and the hook.
There's like punchlines, yeah. Like misdirections.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah, we got into it with Danae Hayes.
Great episode. Yeah.
Hilarious. Danae's a friend of mine. We kind of came up the same way, making videos and making. If you're watching the episode, you can be like, I recognize her.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've seen her on the internet. She got popular. I think we talked about it a little bit in 2021,
mm-hmm.
during COVID, making prank calls.
Yeah.
The one that put her on the map was she made the prank call to the taxidermist.
Nice.
About her dog. And she's from Alabama. She made it a Southern accent, which was hilarious. We played softball together in a charity thing last year. And that's how we became friends.
We talk about some softball too, because she's a stud.
Stud. And then she's, of course, touring, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check her out. We got into a lot of stuff. And then we got into, as we should do a countdown to faith talk with John.
Mm.
Like, we're just timing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, all right, about 45 minutes.
Like, is that right? Like X minutes since we've discussed faith.
No, at all. Because you say, sometimes in the pod when we're doing a solo episode, it goes there.
Oh yeah, dude, it's the foundation of all of it. Yeah, of course.
It's about 45 minutes.
Yeah, about there.
But that it's always about there.
Yep.
And I don't do it on purpose, but sometimes it just goes there.
It's, hey, the spirit moves, man.
The spirit moves.
Let it lead you.
Yeah, you guys enjoy the episode.
It's a positive.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Net Positive. We out here. Danae Hayes is in the building.
Clap it up. We're here.
Let's go. Riley Green, myself, and you, all three lauded Alabama collegiate athletes.
Wait.
And who are you being disrespectful to?
Riley Green.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
Wait, John, did you really play?
I played tennis at Sanford.
Stop. So you're smarty pants.
Let's go. Hey. Oh, yeah. See, that's the reputation we have in
smarty
Alabama.
Pants,
you went to Alabama.
Yeah.
Played softball.
Yes.
Riley Green went to Jacksonville State.
Played football.
I went to Sanford, played tennis. So
got that education.
We're all kind of is that our reputation? Rich
dude,
kids? Rich, smart kids?
One or the other. Sometimes
I don't
both.
Care about nothing but the tide. You know that guy?
Yeah, what is it? I don't give a piss about nothing but the tide.
Yeah, gosh. Alabama. Well, you got a lot of Alabama listeners. You played, you'd like to talk about that or no? Is that part of your past?
Oh, no, I'll talk about it.
Is that part of
it?
Your past that we don't like to discuss?
No, I won a national championship, brother. I got to talk about it. I was going to wear my ring, but.
No, you can wear a ring. Look, Alex
got it. I got mine.
Thought that'd be too much, y'all.
Nah, let me think.
Next time.
When would you wear a ring? When would you wear at the ceremony?
My coach said you would wear it in every job interview, but I haven't had a job since.
Oh,
so.
That's a terrible idea.
That's bad advice. So I don't wear it, you know?
Are they big?
Dude,
they're big.
They're clonkers, yeah.
Yeah. Was it your senior year? You have to go back to get it or no?
No, it was my freshman year.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice, dude. And you had a ceremony.
What's it like being on campus after winning a natty?
In softball, not very different.
Really?
You still got to go to economics.
Yeah. In softball, they're like, good job. Yeah. We'll see you in a biology class tomorrow.
You know who cares is the athletic department.
100%.
The athletic department cares deeply.
Yeah. And like
about championships.
Yeah. And I think that year it was us, men's golf, women's golf, and football.
I don't care about nothing but the Tide. Yeah.
We started calling it Tidaltown.
Oh, I like that.
That's tough winning it at Bama, too, because everybody else is kind of winning, too.
Yeah. It's like, couldn't y'all just let us have our spotlight for 1 year? Because that was the first, we were the first SEC national championship in softball. Nice. And, of course, everybody had to do it. Let's go.
That's why we had you in today. We wanted you to get this off.
I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah. Well, listen, Oklahoma's coming.
Oklahoma's been coming. Those girls
are coming to the SEC.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And Texas, right?
Who's good in the SEC in softball now? Do you know or care?
Florida's pretty good.
Yeah.
Alabama's having a tough year. I think they're like 2-7 in conference play.
Oh, yeah.
Tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what happens when.
Let's get. I went back to Samford last year because maybe 2 years ago, our basketball team's good. And I gave a speech. I go, y'all don't. This is a terrible idea. Like, y'all don't want me in here? Do you ever go back or no?
I go back sometimes. It's one of those things where it's like, it was my life. Same with you. You know, it was my life forever. Yeah. So I was like, well, it's time to start a new chapter.
I like that.
I still get comments, though. And it's like, been watching you, you know, since you played softball. And I'm like, that was a decade ago. So
don't say that.
Yeah, that was a decade ago,
in
y'all.
In what context, in somebody's comments, is that okay to say, been watching you since 2014?
I don't know how deep you want to go on this, but
we'll go.
I had this weird stalker. And I can honestly, I had to get the police involved, okay? This guy, you know on Facebook Messengers where it's like message requests, so you don't actually see it?
So, any story that starts out, you know, Facebook messages I'm here for, dude. Let's get into it.
Popcorn ready.
So, you know, Facebook messages?
Oh, yeah.
Sure do, dude.
Yeah.
And you don't need to say anything out here. Like, you know what those are.
Yeah.
Like, I got it.
Well,
I got it.
Well, this was message hidden requests.
Oh, man.
And this guy.
But Facebook was like, hey, if you got to search for it, we're not going to put this one to you.
Right.
If you want to dig around, it's technically here, but we're not. For your safety.
And I'm glad I didn't find it until years later. I was a real estate agent at the time. But this guy had sent me 150 messages and then asked me to go look at this house with him. And I was like, I didn't know these messages were there. So I go look at this house. He had to see it at 7 p.m. because he was driving in. And once we're standing in the middle of this house, he then says, I've been watching you since your freshman year at Alabama. And I was like, bro.
Now, why do you have to do that accent for him?
Well, it was pretty spot on is what it was. I've been watching you since 2012.
Maybe that speaks to how successful or unsuccessful you were at real estate at the time that you're like, this is a lead. Hey, this is a lead.
Bro, you were unaware of the 150 messages he had already sent you?
Yes. And
okay. That's fair.
No. I get there. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know he's a fan. He gets out of his car and he's got this animated, like cartoon woman in a bikini sitting on a Harley on his t-shirt. And I
no
was like,
that. No problem.
I was like, bro, I really don't want to go in this house by myself. And so I get in there. And then he says, you look like you could have played gymnastics. And I was like, oh, no, I'm too tall for gymnastics. And then after he guesses what sport I play, about 10 minutes later, he then says, I've been watching you since your freshman year at Alabama. So I go home, check to see if this guy's ever sent me any messages, and then uncover.
Then you see him.
Yeah.
You're lucky he let you go home.
I'm very lucky, dude.
Yeah, that's wild.
You know that Drewski meme? Is what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Like what you look like you did gymnastics. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. Bro, that's probably the weirdest sport you could presume on somebody, right?
I'm 5'9" and I look like I shop at Home Depot on a day-to-day basis. Like
balance beam for sure.
If you're listening and not watching. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. What do you mean by that?
Did he buy the house?
No.
No. Oh, okay.
No.
No. He, I don't know how deep you want to go on this, but we are down in the basement at this point. Never go in the basement with this guy, but I go in the basement again. Real estate was not that successful. So
I didn't know you didn't see the 150 messages.
Yeah.
I thought you're like, hey, this guy's crazy, but I don't have any leads, so I got to go try.
Well, no, but you were actually spot on. I was taking all the leads I could get. I get down in the basement, and this guy, this is so bizarre. He pulls a gun out.
That's the lie.
I told you I had to get the police involved. He pulls a gun out, takes a gun out of his pocket, takes the magazine out of the gun.
Oh, okay, safe then.
And hands me the magazine.
Yeah.
And says, "Do you realize how easy that was for me to get you down in a vulnerable situation?" And I was like,
"That's terrifying."
I was like, "What is? I'm sorry, we're starting with this." I was like, "What is going on?
Like, are you okay?" Like,
no, I ended up making it out of there fine. I was absolutely terrified. Get back upstairs, still holding this man's magazine, and then get in my car. But it was. Dude, it was crazy how fast it happened. I literally just show up. No. This guy's got a naked lady on his chest. I end up in the basement with this guy. He tells me how easy it is to get a gun out. And then boom, I was just like, I'm done with real estate. Like it was.
That's by the Lord.
That was the Lord. Yeah, the Lord was watching over me that day.
Well,
he gets the commission on that.
Hey, now I mean, I feel like. Yeah, you get all the, that's like, you didn't know that, like that when my Facebook got hacked and you look you look back on it and you go, oh, there were so many red flags throughout this process that led, now that you know, you go, oh, and then you tell the story back with like the shirt
and you sound
the
stupid.
Basement, the gun, and you go, yeah, I know it sounds good, but in the moment,
I was just this young agent. I wanted a commission. I was willing to do whatever I had. Well, not whatever, but I was willing to go into this basement with this guy. And then it got really serious. But back to this whole Facebook situation.
Yeah.
I was watching that unfold and I knew it wasn't you at all. I just knew. I was like, this guy's not posting this not at all. But I was having the time of my life watching it unfold. No, everybody,
that's my most excitement for the year, I think.
That was. Yeah. A peak, yeah.
Lost about a 500,000 followers, but
that
it was
insane.
Nah, it was wild because like somebody emailed us and said, we want you to be, you know, this is like a podcast fishing thing.
Yeah.
It's like, we want you to be on Candace Cameron's podcast, and we know her,
right?
And it's like, we've had that conversation with her about her pod, and it was like, sounds good. They were like, we're gonna pay. We got on a Zoom, and it was, they didn't have a face, which, and me, that person, and my publicist, because they were prepping for the podcast. And we were like, I was like, this is weird. And they're like, it was an Indian guy.
Yeah.
And again, I was like, 2024, Candace Cameron is like a Christian, like podcast.
Yeah, totally.
I wouldn't want to be like, hey, this doesn't sound like the guy that would, like, it wasn't broken English, but I go, huh? Right. I just said, huh. And then he goes, thank you so much. Candace really wants to talk to you about, your life and your career and your accomplishments, which I was like nothing specific to me.
Totally.
And then he goes, and we're going to pay you a total sum of $3,000.
Oh, that was weird.
Yeah. US. And but in the moment,
this
is back to the gun. You're like, that's weird. You're like, well, we were just down there and he like brought, it was,
I know,
it moves so quickly.
It's so fast. And that's why I was like, I can't believe I actually just told you all that story, because coming out of my mouth, it sounds like I'm an absolute
that's
idiot.
I know. So did mine.
It makes me feel so stupid, because you're like, dude, you went to a house with no electricity or water because it's a vacant house. Okay. Let's add that one in. You go to this house at 7 o'clock because this guy says that's the only time he can meet you.
AM or PM?
PM. Did I just say?
It's getting dark. No, you had
7 p.m.
Yeah. Serial killers aren't up at 7 a.m.
Yeah. And you're just like, what am I doing?
Yeah. And what city? Here?
No, it's Fultondale, Alabama. Yeah, bro.
It just keeps getting worse.
I was living in Alabama. Okay?
Fultondale, Alabama is wild. No, and this, it was like, I wonder if you were trying to do some nefarious activities.
Fultondale would be a good spot to do it.
Yeah. And what kind of house? What do you?
Probably no electricity in the basement with no windows. That'd probably be a good start.
No Ring cameras for sure.
Yeah. And a man that's got a promiscuous woman on his front. T-shirt with a cartoon character.
Promiscuous
so.
Woman. That's the word my mom would use.
Promiscuous.
Like promiscuous woman. Can we double back to the real estate, the failed at something to real estate pipeline?
Yeah.
And I love my real estate agent's great.
Go ahead. Throw some insurance on this.
No. The real estate agent pipeline, it leads from nobody goes straight in. That's fair.
That's 100%.
Nobody goes straight into it.
Yeah.
At least residential real estate. something else doesn't work out, and I'm gonna get crushed for this probably.
No, this is a part of my set. Everybody knows a realtor that didn't graduate from high school named Craig. I'm sorry. He's put it on me. He's busting his butt out there. And honestly, he's probably bringing in some pretty good money, but you're like, Craig, you worked at the gas station 2 months ago and like you had a landscaping business before that. And now you're like doing really well in real estate, Craig, you know? And I was one of the few that got my license straight out of college and went right into it. Yeah, I did. My mom was in real estate, or my mom is in real estate. My dad's in real estate.
Oh, it's passed down.
So it was like, I'll just do real estate so we can go to the Bahamas once a year, you know? Like,
set your sights high.
That was it.
Yeah. And then it's like it seems cool. Real estate seems, it's the only profession where your photo's on your license or your photo's on your business card. Sorry.
Yeah. Amen. My photo.
You got to have the photo on the business card.
Yeah. My photo looked as if conversion therapy worked. I had lipstick and long eyelashes and long hair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You look at that person, you go, I'll buy a house from them.
Yeah.
So did the guy, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy had a lot of thoughts off that photo.
I think the photo, I'm pretty sure it was the photo.
Wait,
that snagged him.
I read that I thought it was a fitness instructor.
I did that for a minute. I'm telling you, I am Craig.
After real estate.
Yeah, I am Craig. I bounced around a whole bunch.
I did too. But you know what we got in common? We're both
messed up.
Wow. Off the top.
Okay.
Journalism major.
Oh.
Yeah, no, was that too?
Yeah.
And we got a lot in common. I didn't go to conversion therapy though.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Were your parents religious?
Yes.
You're not from Alabama. What am I talking about?
Yeah. They're both religious, but my mom is like very religious. My dad's very spiritual. He's a very spiritual man. He's less about like organized religion.
Yeah.
My mom's more about organized religion.
What denomination?
A Southern Baptist.
Oh, yeah.
You already knew that one, John. Nah, you didn't have to ask.
Southern Baptist in Alabama, Fultondale or no?
We grew up in a little town called Morris.
So you moved to Fultondale to pursue real estate?
Fultondale's like 20 minutes away.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm going to, hey, guys, hometown, I'm out of here.
Where
are you going, Danae? Fultondale.
Yeah. I was willing to travel 20 minutes. That was my cat.
Oh, Fultondale. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was my cat. Yeah. They had a Chick-fil-A there, so.
And Fultondale.
Yeah. So it was nice to get the Lord's chicken every once in a while.
Yeah. They is that what they do at conversion therapy? Just feed you Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
I shouldn't ask that.
Spicy chicken sandwich with a pepper jack cheese on it.
Oh, yeah.
I literally went from shopping at Home Depot to eating Chick-fil-A.
That'll convert you, I think. Yeah.
That was it.
That's the plan. Wasn't there a documentary about that?
I think there's like 1,000 documentaries on conversion.
Camp is the one I saw. Well, no, that wasn't about conversion, but it was about. Yeah, getting like with the indoctrination of like the parents into the kids.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah,
I lived that one, brother.
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
I lived that one, brother.
Yeah. I like the church.
I thought you were going to say I like conversion therapy. I was like, you know what? I've had a great time today.
Oh yeah, we performed down there a ton, Alabama.
Yeah.
You been back to perform there?
I did Birmingham and Huntsville.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to go back to the Alabama Theater this year.
Oh, yeah. That's where I was the same spot.
Yeah, dude, that's such a cool venue.
Isn't it awesome?
Yeah, I haven't performed there, but I grew up going to, like, they do these Christmas movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was pretty sick.
Listen, we didn't even discuss that. We said she was an Alabama softball player in real estate. Danae Hayes is a comedian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God.
Why didn't we say that earlier?
I don't know.
Yeah. Stand-up comedian, softball player. We met at the Folds of Honor softball game with Riley Green, shirtless.
That's right.
And but you were the MVP defense. And
we stood beside each other at the national anthem. I think we shook hands, and that was as far as that went. It's good to meet you.
No, but they're saying, how you doing?
Yeah.
But then I think I whispered to somebody, I go, this might be offensive or sexist or a lot of things. I go, yeah, that girl can hit. But I didn't think you couldn't. I just said,
you're like,
that
bro.
Girl can hit.
Well, I mean.
And play. That girl is good.
Thank you. I take it very serious.
Yeah, you should.
Like, I don't know what it is, but when it comes to sports, like, I want to beat some butt.
Yeah.
You know, like, if we're playing checkers.
You can't turn it off.
Yeah, if we're playing checkers at Cracker Barrel, like, I'll flip the table over.
Yeah, like Jesus in the temple.
Exactly. I was about to use that same reference.
Oh, but yeah. I knew.
You beat me to it.
Well, what is your live show?
My live show is kind of like a, I call it like a one-woman show. It's characters. I do a lot of sketch comedy. Yeah. So there's characters in it. There's also music. It's all comedy music. I'm writing a country comedy album right now. So, yeah, we'll do a little storytelling, a little song, some characters in there, and I'll tell you to get the hell out, and then we'll go home.
Get out of here. Well, you know, you ever heard that story about Larry the Cable Guy?
Which one?
His name's Dan Whitney. So he was touring in the comedy clubs. Have I told this on here before? Mm-hmm. He was touring in the comedy clubs, and he would call the local radio stations as Larry the Cable Guy. That was his character.
Yeah.
He's like, what's going on, man? Get her done. I'm going to come down there. And so, like, he was Dan Whitney on stage. He would just call. And then, so he was marginally successful. And then he would, one time, I think the story is he wasn't doing well on stage. He goes, I got this guy backstage that's going to come out. I think you guys know him because that's why all day were there. This guy, Larry the Cable Guy. And he went back, put it on a flannel, sleeveless, came back out, get her done. And he couldn't follow it.
Yeah.
He couldn't get out of the character and come back out as Dan Whitney. And then 2 weeks later, he was at the comedy club and it said, Larry the Cable Guy.
That's incredible.
And that was it.
My dad bought me his DVD when I was 10, which is a really, my dad was, I don't know what his deal was, but he bought me Dave Chappelle.
The spiritual dad.
And then, the spiritual dad?
Yeah, he said he was spiritual, not religious.
Oh, yeah, he's very spiritual, yes. Yeah. But
he's like Dave Chappelle.
Larry the Cable Guy. This might be too much on this, but I told my dad when I was like 10, after he bought me this DVD, we're driving to softball practice, and I looked at my dad and I said, get her done. And he goes, and I go, flip her over, do her again. Cause that's what Larry the Cable Guy said. And dad goes, don't ever say that again. And I was like, but dad, that's what that man says on that DVD. And he's like, please don't say that again. And now that I'm old, I'm like, that was so cringe.
Buying your daughter a Larry the Cable Guy DVD is a different kind of conversion therapy.
100. Dad was taking me down this road. Yeah. Mom was trying to get me down this road. Yeah. Somewhere we ended up here.
Buying Larry the Cable Guy is crazy, dude. But it is pretty Alabama. Like it is that those DVDs are so funny.
Isn't he from Nebraska?
From Nebraska.
Yeah. Which is so funny because like, my wife's family's from Nebraska and like none of them have a Southern accent, but it was cool to see Larry like lean into that Southern.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is there one character that, that is the fan favorite?
Sharon Jean.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, I guess you could say she's kind of like a female version of Larry the Cable Guy. So I don't know. Do you remember this guy?
That's the one with the mullet?
Yes.
Do
you remember that comedian? He did prank phone calls back in the 90s, Roy D. Mercer.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So Roy D., he had this hypothetical wife named Sharon Jean. She never had a face.
Okay.
So my first time ever going viral was through a prank phone call as Sharon Jean.
About the dog.
About the taxidermy.
The taxidermy dog. I remember that during COVID.
Yeah. So when that popped off, I was like, well, Sharon Jean needs a face, just like Roy D had one. So
seems fair.
Yeah. So
that was before the internet.
Yes. But funny enough, he sold at the time, he was signed to Warner for prank phone calls. He sold the most records in Warner.
What a job.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Like and now that would be a wild, no one would ever do, no one would have a record deal because of that.
Because of prank calls.
You do it on TikTok.
That's like bananas.
That's crazy.
The fact that he's outselling, like, I don't know, at the time, maybe like Brooks and Dunn, but he's doing prank phone calls. It was like a phenomenon. It was crazy.
To buy a prank phone call, because then, would he listen to it again?
Hell, I've listened to so many of those.
It's on repeat?
I literally listened to Roy D like at least 1,000 times,
I was bummed out when I heard that that War of the Roses was fake.
Is it?
Yeah, somebody on TikTok is like, it was like one of those, you know what War of the Roses is?
I don't know
like
what this
on
is.
A radio station when they call somebody that thinks they're cheating.
Yeah.
And then they go, you won a dozen roses.
That's fake.
Who would you like to give them to? And then the husband or wife is on the line.
Yeah.
And then she's like, let me give them to so-and-so at work and just say, oh, heck no. And it's like a whole, it's
That's fake.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
My whole child is ruined. Sorry.
No, that's upsetting. It's like, God, those are good.
Yeah.
Gosh, dude.
But then I started thinking like, dang, everybody's cheating.
They're like voice actors. But obviously, how were you going to orchestrate that? Yeah. And who would ever, that no one would do that.
You're just throwing grenades into relationships and then running away.
Yeah, and they're like, closing the door behind you. Bootstrapping Katie in the morning. See ya.
Let's another hour of hits coming up right now.
We got to go to commercial. Bye.
I guess when you think about it, because it takes me, like I do live prank phone calls and it takes me
a couple,
sometimes like 8 calls until I finally get somebody that's like actually not just click, hang up. So yeah, I guess, yeah, that it is does. Fake. Oh, God, yeah.
Really? Yeah, that'll make for bad radio. Just get hung up on for an hour and then finally get one.
I'll go live on TikTok and like just do prank calls for 2 hours. And like the first, you know, you might go through 8 really bad ones.
I think I've seen these. Yeah, I think I've seen one of those. Yeah.
So I get, okay, now I guess I understand that everything in life is fake.
Like, hey, do you want to cook dinner? I'm live on TikTok doing prank calls, baby. Shut up. I don't know why I did you how in did a country
you,
accent.
Wait, how did you know how that goes
that
down?
That was disrespectful.
I vibe with it.
Hey, what are you doing tonight? Not tonight.
Prank calls, baby.
You gotta do that during the day.
It does better during the day because businesses are open. You know, when I'm out here harassing the hardworking people of America, they typically answer before 5 p.m.
I don't know when businesses are open.
I got time for this.
Yeah. Well, it used to be crank yankers.
I've actually never seen their stuff. People comment and say, oh, this reminds me of the crank callers or whatever it was.
Is it crank or prank?
It was crank.
Why is it crank?
Yeah. I don't know. I've never seen their stuff, but I heard it's
a crank call. Really?
No, they were crank yankers.
Yeah, but would you prank call someone?
What is a crank yanker?
Prank calls is with a P.
Yeah.
Crank.
What
yankers.
Are you doing?
I'm doing prank.
Yeah, prank calls, but crank yankers with, all right, got it. Yeah. Man, that makes me nervous.
Prank calling?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love it.
Addicted to it?
I just, you just never know. And it's improv, which is my favorite. As long as I don't have it resolved in my mind before I call, it goes so much better. If I have an idea of what I want to say, it usually plummets.
Goes bad. Yeah. You're like, this is going to kill. No, it's not. No. Yeah.
Never start with, this is going to kill.
No, never.
it never kills.
Yeah. We did a show on Monday night with Brad Paisley.
Yeah.
I had all these like jokes in my, we're going to do something on stage together. I had all these like lines written. I was like, and like they all bombed.
Yeah.
Hard. And then the stuff we just did, like off the cuff, kill.
Yeah, it's how it always is. Yeah. It's so much, you get in that flow state.
Oh, yeah.
Which is better than that and friction also unbelievable, state.
Yeah, for a live show, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did that come up with Paisley?
I mean, they just asked me to do it because I think Nate had done it last year. And then he does like a charity thing at Zany's every year.
Nice.
Yeah.
His music has got a lot of comedic undertones to it.
Oh, yeah.
Like
I like to check you for ticks. Oh yeah, that's funny. Oh,
yeah, he was actually, and then I'm going to
and
miss
I'm
her.
Still a guy. Oh yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, or
I didn't think about that.
He's out there fishing, and his wife says, "Well, you better come home." He's like, "Well, I'm going to miss her." You know? Yeah, yeah, I mean, like goes, it's all funny stuff.
He goes, "Dan, dan, 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 dan." I'm gonna miss her. That was iconic. Because you're like, she's asking me to come home. We've been together for so long. It's getting late. Baby, come home.
You think he's coming home?
And then he gets you. I'm gonna miss her. Yeah. Oh, looky there.
But sang it, boy.
Another bite. That's what I did. Like, yeah,
you know the
word, good.
You know the words today?
Yeah. That was it.
Oh, gosh. That song. We were like, how is he doing it? Because it felt like it was kind of like, at the time, like kind of like disrespectful to his wife.
It did.
Because we grew up in Southern where you don't.
You're like, no, brother, you got to go home.
You got to go home,
like,
brother.
Disappointed, like brother, reality
TV. You got to go home, brother.
He's like, no, I do this every week. She'll still be at the house when I get home.
That was like, to hear in the night, was it the 90s probably?
Yeah, probably.
Was ahead of its time.
Yeah. No, I'm. Seriously, I said something to somebody here in Nashville. I was like, yeah, I'm writing country comedy. And she was like, oh, like Brad Paisley. And I was like, at the time, I was like, no, not like Brad Paisley.
No.
I'm not trying to be Brad Paisley. And then I went home and started listening to more of his stuff. And I was like, wait, she knew exactly what I was trying to do.
Wow.
You know, like the alcohol. It was like, I'll help you talk to your friends. I'll help you. And then it's like, alcohol. Because they didn't know what the song was about. Right. I'll help you. You made some poor decision, get kicked out. Or you're like, what is he talking about? And then he goes, alcohol. Exactly. That's like a setup punchline.
Well, if you think about it, who was it that sang this? Big and Rich. This was a country. This was a legit country radio hit. Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy.
Huge.
Hilarious song. But like, how do you get that on the radio back then?
Yeah.
Like, that was wild. But
Save
that's
a
country
ride
comedy.
A cowboy. No, there's a couple that have not aged well.
Right.
No, a couple, a lot of them.
Yeah. Or A Boy Named Sue by Johnny Cash. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
So.
What about the, what's the one? A Pretty Lady, Won't You Give Me a Sign? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to buy a woman at the auction block. Or, yeah. Remember that? Is that how it
isn't
is?
Isn't that weird?
And I said, give me that one right there or something like that.
Yeah, just everyday life, just buying women for money.
Call. Yeah, I can't do that one.
That's legal in Las Vegas.
Hang, like, you can do it out there still.
Yeah, I did it last
Yeah, there's
week.
A couple of them that were like, but there was, but then at the time, hip hop was the same.
Oh, hip hop still very much.
Like know. The things that Eminem was saying when we were growing up. And then
oh, God, yeah.
I saw him on a commercial with Roger Goodell for the NFL draft. I go,
what?
What?
It's
what?
Bananas. Like he was saying.
Oh my God.
He was saying like terms.
Terrible.
That would get you canceled in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Today.
And not just terms, like descriptions of vile actions that yes. were like, bro, what are you doing?
Yes.
Then we were, and I was like going to my like private Christian high school in my Honda Civic, like, yeah, dude.
I relate to this. This speaks to me.
This guy gets me. Yeah.
I'm yeah. mad at the world too, yeah. man.
What are you mad at, dude? My parents yeah. for making me do geography homework before.
He
I
was mad at his mom too.
I'm going on a bike ride, yeah. dude. No. This week's episode of the podcast brought to you by Miracle May. Speaking of miracles,
speaking of,
I don't know how far we are in the episode, but speaking of miracles, yeah. baby, did you know that temperature at night can have one of the greatest impacts on your sleep quality? It's true. Do you wake up hot or too cold? I highly recommend check out Miracle Maid's bed sheets. That's what I sleep on. I woke up on them this morning. Did you know that traditional bed sheets can harbor more bacteria than a toilet seat?
What?
One time in college, I passed out on a toilet seat. I'm just kidding. I never did that. Did you?
Pass out on a toilet seat?
Yeah.
I don't think so, man.
I never have either. No. I don't think I've ever been that sick.
I've definitely been that drunk, but my drunk I've discipline never. Was always pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's been a while.
Sorry, Miracle Man.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine sleeping on a toilet seat. People have probably done it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Not me. Mm-hmm. Self-cooling properties for better, I'm trying to think, so for better quality sleep. You got to get into Miracle May, baby. They use silver-infused fabrics inspired by NASA. They're self-cleaning. These sheets are infused with silver. Let them know you're rich, baby. You can't have money. They prevent 99.7% of bacterial growth, leaving them to stay cleaner and fresher 3 times longer. Fellas, if you're living by yourself, now you don't have to clean your sheets ever.
Yep.
Just kidding. You do. Once a year.
Yep.
Comfort, quality, Miracle Made sheets are luxuriously comfortable without the high price tag of other luxury brands. Are people flexing on sheets now?
They should be.
Hey,
if they
I got
have
a Rolls Royce, I got a Bentley. What's the watch brand?
Rolex.
I got a Rolex and Miracle Made.
Yeah.
Oh, these look like the luxurious ones. These are Miracle Made. That's what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
Go to trymiracle.com/netpositive to try Miracle Man sheets today. And whether you buy them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40% and use the promo code netpositive at checkout, baby. They're so confident in your product, it's backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, get a full refund, upgrade your sleep at trymiracle.com/netpositive and use the code netpositive to claim three three-piece towel set and save over 40%. Again, that's trymiracle.com/net positive or the link in the episode description below. Manscaped, baby. Used it last night. Both of them, the face and the body.
Hey.
This week's episode brought to you by Manscaped 2024. Alex.
Yes.
It's here.
It is.
We're in Q2.
Yeah.
We just started.
Yeah.
Full swing, and that means it's time for New Year's resolution check-in.
See how we're doing.
With your friends at Manscaped. It's never too late to level up your grooming game and keep things tame, baby. Manscaped new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is every man's cheat code to look good, feel good, and turn the page on confidence. That's the difference maker. Hey, listen, we're coming up on shirtless season.
Yeah. It's here. It might be upon us, depending
season,
on where you live.
Depending
in the
on where you live, depend on what if you're a spring break or yep. if you got kids on spring break. Shirtless season snuck up.
Yeah,
and it's here.
Yeah.
You cut your own grass?
No.
Nah, you don't cut your grass shirtless?
Oh, if I cut my grass, yeah. I would do it shirtless.
Yeah.
Dude. Especially hey, with Manscaped.
Hey, you going to mow the lawn? And also you need the lawnmower 3.0, 5.0, sorry. Nice.
Yeah.
You got to go, yeah, you're going to scape the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Scape yourself too. The introducing the MVP of 2024 Manscaped fifth generation lawnmower. Oof. It's not just a trimmer. It's your grooming sidekick. I got it. It's nice. Equipped with two skin-safe blade heads, a standard for one to take a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth whenever, wherever your heart desires. This is, what this thing can't do.
Yeah.
It's waterproof. That's an unbelievable quality. It's got a light on there. Also an unbelievable quality. And for men, you want a full grooming experience, look no further. Manscaped Performance Package 5.0. Get it all, baby. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code NETPOSITIVE at manscaped.com. Embrace the new you and definitely embrace a new trimmer. Oh, courtesy of Manscaped. I thought it was definingly. Mm. Definitely embrace a new trimmer courtesy of manscaped.com. Or hit the link in the episode description below. That's manscaped.com and use the code NETPOSITIVE for 20% off and free shipping. I would say my experience with the cancel culture, and I think that's even like a lame topic to even discuss it because it's like, but what people don't like is the hypocrisy. Because like Eminem's like, yeah, I always been this. And like people that are like,
yeah,
like forward facing now that are like, yeah, well, I'm not trying to be a pastor. Like, this is who I.
Right.
And everybody goes, yeah. Like some, I would say there's some celebrities that if they got in trouble for doing X, Y, and Z, we'd be like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We figured he was doing that.
That was the whole Johnny Depp thing.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, you're just real life Jack Sparrow.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take the domestic abuse out of it, obviously. But like all the alcohol and the drugs, it's like, bro, that's on brand for you.
Well, what's so funny about cancel culture is at first when it started happening, it was like, oh, this is like a death sentence. And now, you know, you're really never getting canceled. Like, you know what I mean? You're never getting canceled.
Yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like this, I don't know. It just feels like it's a massive slap on the wrist. And then I don't know what good it really does other than the sense of like, they send you away for 3 months and then you come back. And
sell more tickets.
And it changes so much. It changes when you're having to work in these invisible lines. It's because of the fear of something bad happening to you. Yeah. It changes so much.
Well, I think it's like, you don't want to. I feel like I just don't want to live like anybody that's open about whatever they're going through. Like if you got like a, well, like a Morgan.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, we knew he was like a rowdy guy.
Yeah.
No one was surprised by the chair story.
Yeah, no. Maybe that.
He was like, okay.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Glad nobody got hurt.
Glad he didn't get convicted for manslaughter of accidentally hitting somebody in the head with a chair. Yeah. But yeah, when that news broke, I was like, did we expect anything different?
Yeah.
They gave him a bar downtown.
Like, I mean, did we expect anything different?
They were like, we're pulling the logo up on this bar right now.
Oh, pull it back down. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah. It's not like he's going to have to go into real estate.
It'll be fine. Imagine.
Morgan Wallen Realty. Start selling homes. Yeah, I don't think anybody's really particularly like scared of it.
Got pretty hot and heavy there for a minute, though, in like 2018, 2019. Yeah, it was getting a little.
It's a hot time.
Yeah, it was a hot time, John.
Now it's a.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting looking back, but it's like, you know, a lot of people, there's that revisionist history that goes on the internet all the time. They're like, I can't. We're like, dude, if you were all these eras of time, like people discuss, like in certain eras of civil rights, you're like, I would have been the one.
Yeah.
You're like, that's what the culture was. And even back to rap music and lyrics and like, yeah, but this was this was the 90s or this is the 2000s. Or we didn't.
Isn't it wild? That can be an excuse. Like, dude, it was the 90s
or
the 80s. Like,
it was, it's like with the revisionist history, like going back to like cancel, like, who like people that are dead, like Christopher Columbus. You're like, you're applying today's ethics and morals to another time.
Right.
Is going back and saying, I can't believe this now. This is like
it's the same process when you think about, like, I can't believe I did that when I was 18. Well, there's a reason you did it when you're 18. You were 18. Your brain isn't where it needs to be. So trying to, like,
you're talking about going 3 for 4 and hitting 2 home runs?
Bro, I was not
going into the basement.
I was not
the guy in Bama.
Not a heavy slugger. I was a great defensive.
Oh, sorry. I didn't go that deep into the research.
Sorry for pinching on that point.
You weren't batting cleanup.
No, I was like 7-8 hitter. Yeah, I was like a 260 hitter, but I had, you know, I'm just gonna go ahead and say it, y'all.
Yeah.
I had 4 ESPN top 10 plays.
Hey,
so
come on, give it up.
Let's go.
Thank y'all for allowing me on today's podcast. I'm gonna leave after that.
That's 4. Can we find them or no? We
could. Yeah, you could Google. Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you to Google my name, but
it's probably the top. It's probably the top research.
There's definitely one on YouTube.
Sports Center top 10.
Yeah.
And you played shortstop. Let me guess what this was.
I played my freshman year at second base.
Yeah.
And then shortstop the next 3 years.
Is it, does somebody come into your living room as a senior in high school? Somebody, coach come into your living room, say,
oh, no, yeah. Like it was no Nick Saban-esque.
Is that it right there?
That's it. I was about 40 pounds.
Give me that. Let's go, dude.
Yeah. I had a big old set of thighs on my back end.
Stud. That's you?
That's me, brother.
No, it's not.
I'm telling you.
Let me watch that again.
Yeah.
And the braids.
Yeah. College softball,
gosh,
they like.
That looks, oh, I can see it.
They like really, I mean, you were doing like powerlifting like these softball. Heavy. Now, if I tried to work out like that, I would break myself.
That looks like a good time.
It was a good time.
My gosh. College sports was awesome.
Yeah.
That's like so fun. It looks just like so fun.
Are you really? You're pulling
up
another one? Yeah, this is another one.
Give me that.
Yeah, dude, go get it. What was college softball culture like?
Oh, a lot of Subarus. No, I'm kidding.
nice, dude.
There was, it was fun. I mean, at that level, though, like Alabama at that time was so good. Like there was no messing around. It was like,
yeah.
It was really structured. I kind of got called out constantly for being immature and
dang.
I just like, I can't play if I'm wound up, like I can't play if I'm tight,
like,
you
guys,
know,
relax.
Like it just was not, I don't know. I needed to just have fun and cut loose. And then when I am on the field, then it's kind of like I get into like a zone, but yeah, I would always kind of get, you know, lectured about being too goofy, too immature, which now it works well for me.
Yeah,
the culture was very serious though, because it was.
Who did those braids?
I think my teammate Callie did those.
That seems like a lot of work.
It was
like more work than stretching before the game.
kept all the loose ends out of your face though.
Yeah. What do they have now? They have different
braids.
They have different helmets and stuff now than they used to.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play in the 40s, John, the helmets are still very similar.
They didn't have them.
Back when I played, we didn't have helmets.
They were leather. You're like, no, it was last year I played.
We caught with our hands.
Yeah.
The bats have definitely changed. I think they've gotten better.
Yeah.
They were considering moving the fences back because, I mean, think about it. These chicks are, they're big, they're strong, and the fence is only 220.
Yeah.
Whereas in baseball, it's like 410. So they're getting have gotten better. The ball's, you know, 70-mile-an-hour pitch. So it's, you know, a 220 fence isn't much. Yeah. Wind it up.
Yeah, but you couldn't hit them. I thought you couldn't hit them.
Not me, bro. I'm trying to pimp this out for the other players.
Like, all right. Let's go.
For the other hitters, I'm trying to make a case for them.
What are your thoughts on Caitlin Clark?
I think she's a beast. I think, why is everybody like dumping on Caitlin Clark right now? I don't understand.
That's what we said.
She's good for the game.
That's what we said.
I think what it is, okay, there's some great players in the WNBA.
Yeah. Look at the camera, not me.
I don't know their names, okay? I don't know their names. All I know is that there's some great players from what I've heard.
Yeah.
I will now watch WNBA. Yeah, I have never watched the WNBA. Yeah. I couldn't name a single team.
This is coming from a lesbian woman.
Yeah. Listen, so. I couldn't name a single, and I'm a fanatic. So like I'm a sports fanatic, but I think Caitlin's about to bring it to the next level.
Yep.
You know,
this is exactly what we said 2 weeks ago.
Why are we hating on, it's like, I don't know. You get one good car salesman at the lot and he's bringing an influx of good people in. And now you're like,
Yeah.
what are you doing, Adam? You're like, well, bro, he's helping us out all out.
Yeah,
like,
we're all selling more cars now.
As my daddy would say, high tide raises all ships.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm tuning in the games this year. No question.
We got a new coffee machine in the break room because Doug is selling more cars out here.
Exactly.
And more people are coming here.
Thank you, Doug.
It's a win for everybody.
What is it? The Indiana Fever? Is that right?
Yeah. I'd go to a game.
I would too.
Yeah.
We said in here that it was maybe, I mean, we were glued to those games in the NCAA tournament. I watched all of them and I was like, oh, maybe. And you've seen it in other women's sports, in volleyball. And there's like, oh, maybe it's not that nobody likes women's sports. That isn't, it wasn't a sex thing at all. It was just, is it like, are the characters compelling?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and she was so compelling. I thought the men's tournament was boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no idea who's in the men's tournament this year. Yeah. But
see, equal opportunity. She doesn't know the WNBA or the men's.
Yeah. Well,
you're consistent. Yeah. Consistently ignorant to the sports.
If it makes you feel any better, I feel like you look at college softball in the early 2000s and
win the leather.
Back when they were catching with their hand, you know, and you really didn't know much about it. And then all of a sudden, the athletes got better. The athletes got more competitive. So, of course, you're going to watch a more competitive sport. Yeah. That's why I think the exposure for, you know, women's college softball, for the past 5 years, it's outranked the men's World Series. So now I think we're starting to see this turn with Caitlin Clark, but yeah, I don't know why she's getting so much hate. I think it really is just like a jealousy. Like, we've already been playing good. How come you haven't tuned in yet? And it's like, well, I'm sorry, but Caitlin's going to help me tune in. Yeah.
I think the WNBA needs a reality show. I think if you started to show, because I guarantee you there's storylines going on there that are like, just as compelling.
Like
as
golf like, or the F1 on Netflix.
Yeah, as anything in other sports.
Oh, yeah.
You get into that, it's like, oh, all of a sudden I'm invested because I know the people, because I don't know the players involved. Great, so why would I care about the sport?
Great point.
That's a good point, man, because Full Swing on Netflix has really helped me to watch more PGA.
Yeah.
Because before then, I didn't know who Scotty Scheffler was.
Yeah.
Now I'm rooting for good old Scotty.
Have you seen that Theo Vaughn clip about softball?
About the women jumping up.
Yeah, doesn't he? Theo Vaughn has, like, you don't have to look it up. TikTok or something.
That's what I said to him.
I've been watching softball.
That's what I said to him in person. And it was so awkward.
You should have led with that.
Like, yeah. Softball. I was like, Theo, you know, when you say that those girls jump up and bang chests.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of vibe with that. He kind of looked at me like,
well. Yeah, I think the Caitlin Clark, I'd be stoked to, but if a young comic comes in that's selling more tickets than what we're selling, there's a sense of, but the thing is, I would say that privately to my buddies.
Right.
I don't mind the WNBA girls goes, I mean, the same with Lonzo Ball. Remember when those Ball brothers came in, they were like, we're going to foul him. We hate, and he's coming in cocky, gold chains, his dad's shoes. That's, you're going to hate that guy.
Mm-hmm.
The establishment of whatever it is. That's not sports. That's probably everything.
Yeah.
Somebody's podcast pops off. We probably to our each other, we go, but publicly that's the crazy. Cause on those NCAA tournament games, there was also the WNBA girls were watching them live.
Yeah.
Crush her. Publicly,
I think it also
is crazy.
It rubs it in their face too, because I felt like this. You know, we didn't have the name, image, likeness deal when I was in college.
Oh yeah,
and social media was around. You know, like I was actively posting on social media, so I think about
prank calls.
No, not that. But I do think about, like, there is a jealousy factor of like, dude, this sucks. Like, I could have picked up an extra six figures in college.
Oh yeah,
She's making. I think the last I had read, she had made just in name, image, and likeness by the playoffs was like $3 million. Jeez. So you look at these WNBA players and they're like, bro, I'm not even making 1% of that as a professional player. And this chick is bringing a bag of $3 million. So yeah, I'm sure there's some jealousy there just because they didn't get to be a part of that game.
When you say it like that.
That's tough. Yeah. But you know what though? Like with the comedian example too, it's going to make you write better.
Yeah, it's going to make you better. Yeah,
you know, like totally. It makes the whole thing makes the game better.
I mean, what if you're Caitlin Clark and you, for training camp, what kind of car are you pulling up in?
Dude, I'm pulling up in a Camry. I don't want no haters.
Yeah, you quiet. Don't. You got
no,
quiet.
I'm going all the way.
I'm going Camry.
I'm going a Cybertruck, dude.
Caitlin Clark Cybertruck.
For sure. Yeah, you don't want your teammates to hate you. I forgot about that. Yeah.
You got to get that camaraderie going, you know?
I threw out the first pitch of the Braves game like a year and a half ago. And I was, so my buddy Colin McHugh, he went into high school together. He pitched for the Braves at the time. So they go, do you want to see anything? The locker room. I go, I want to go to the parking garage. Take me out the parking garage. They're like,
the player lot.
Yeah. And like, so like Ronald Acuna has like a Lamborghini. I think Ozuna had a gold plated Maybach or something. And I go, where's Colin McHugh? He's probably going to get mad that I said this. I go, where's Colin McHugh? And it was like a, it's like a minivan.
Yeah.
Or like a 2004 Camry. I go, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Represent our high school better than you're rich, dude. I know how much money you make in the contract. What is this?
I feel like, I feel like the difference there is that they're all making millies.
Oh yeah.
These chicks are making 60 grand a year.
Yeah, you can't blame a Cybertruck. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, just really rub it in their face.
Yeah.
That's what she signed for, right?
$80,000 a year for like 5 years.
But with the other, she's not worried about that.
No, it's endorsement.
Because, so what you've in essence done is you go, oh, well, I did it. And then I would understand why other people would be mad.
Yeah.
They're like, well, there's no shoe deals in the WNBA. She goes, yeah, there is now. Whoops. Yeah. Right. I mean, I whatever the first game is, I'm in.
Yeah, I'd love to go see her play.
So would I.
She's like draining it from like half court. I would just constantly be saying, like, every time I drain one, just be like, where the big boats dock. That's just that'd be my go-to right there. Where the big boats dock.
Yeah.
That's it. They'd be like, Caitlin, shut up.
Sounds like a Rick Ross hook.
I feel like they tried to make it about like sexism, and then they tried to make race also an argument in that. And we were like, I don't know.
Just good.
I'm just trying to watch the game.
She's good.
It turns out we just want to watch what you want to watch. And when somebody says like, you have to support. So you're like, no, I don't.
I'll tell you, it was the first time in my life that I left the golf course early to go home and watch a freaking women's basketball game. And that was when I was scoreboard. Like, she's got me like locked in right now. Cause I love watching her play. I mean, she's just good.
How are you shooting though?
97, I think that day. See, so it's kind of worth leaving.
You were like, I might hit par. I'm going to stay around. I might watch on my phone.
That's true. That's true. That's a good argument.
We should play.
Yeah. Do you play?
Yeah. I play a lot.
Let's go.
Yeah. I would love to play with you.
I mean, I can make it fun. I'm not like out there, like constantly digging around in the pond. Like I won't drag us down too much.
And when's our game? July? June?
June 3rd.
Oh, yeah. If you live in Nashville, come out. Are we going to be on the same team again?
I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be nice to have one funny team again. So
let's go. I was like, man, that girl can hit.
And then what about left-handed this year? Just want to even it out a little bit for the
other team.
Well,
because we should get your comments on this. There is a lot of softball. My barbershop has a softball team, and they have to have three women on the team.
Not about it, brother.
You're not with it?
No, I hate intramural softball.
Oh, because they have to have because of those rules?
No, it's just, I sound like a prude saying
not about it, brother.
Not about it, brother. It's just, like, I feel like I'm going to get hurt. I've had so many concussions, and nobody's calling the ball. Everybody's going after it full speed. It's just it's an injury I don't need.
Yeah.
I'm on the up and up right now. I need to stay on the up and up, not back into the ER.
And there's nothing worse than being an adult in a walking boot.
Yeah. It's what are you doing? Why did I do that?
Yeah. You really don't have any excuse.
No.
I was trying to. Yeah. Stop right there.
Yeah. I've never gotten hurt on the golf course. So I'll stick to that.
Yeah. You get hurt in softball?
All the time.
Yeah. Right. We saw the play.
Yeah. A lot of concussions though. Weird. Like I've never torn anything. But I managed to hit my head constantly.
I don't care about nothing but the time. What is do you listen to the new Taylor Swift album?
No.
Of all the things she has no comment on, it's Taylor Swift. Real quiet over there. You didn't like it. You don't listen to it.
I haven't listened to it. You know,
it's not your thing.
I just like country music.
You're looking for a feature on that comedy album. That's what you're keeping this tight.
See if you can get Taylor to pick up the phone. She already has it.
Yeah.
She goes, nah,
it's in the bag.
Never heard of her.
I answer it like that, no joke. because it is the most opinionated. She is the, not she, everybody around her is the most opinionated. So I, it's just, no, I haven't listened to it.
Yeah. Everybody has that. Everybody has a thought on it. Everybody has a thought on it.
Yeah.
That's probably a good way to say it.
She's like, no, I haven't heard it yet.
We do have, speaking of injuries and sports, and we do have one clip to show you.
Want to
get your thoughts on it. All this right. is a, I saw this on TikTok. This is a guy, basketball player. I don't know what country this is in, but a basketball player.
No audio. We'll just watch it.
Bro, what? Oh.
My man said.
Is this? Wait. Wait. Is he being for real?
He's good.
I'm like, he's actually pretty good.
He said he hit him with a, yeah.
No, he's actually really good.
I like that he's putting on for the camera too. Like he knows. He knows.
Is he's that wild.
Basketball?
Basketball.
He said he's out there playing basketball. Stellar.
He's actually pretty good.
That's an unbelievable clip.
Yeah. Was that you, John?
I could. Wow, dude.
Do you think they play Queen of the Court?
I don't know where. I don't even know what country that would be in.
Queen of the Court. It's the...
Yeah.
Yes!
The, for me, it's the waiting after he throws it up and he goes, like, let's see.
I like to hit him with the... Hit him with the
yeah.
This is...
That's an unbelievable. Wait, where? I don't know where this is.
Is this Thailand?
I would love to be there.
That would add up. Yeah.
Nobody's guarding him, though.
Where's the D?
Like, nobody's getting up in his face.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, nobody's guarding him.
Like, you know, these guys invited their wives to the court. They're like, babe, we have a legit basketball game tonight. And then they're watching this guy.
And the wives are like, so that one guy, he put up 32 on you. What's that about?
They're jealous of him.
Yeah, he's good,
They're jealous of He's getting NIL deals. Yeah. Hey, everybody's watching our league now in America. Why we got this guy?
Yeah.
He's the Caitlin Clark. Like, literally, honey, this is what you practice four times a week for.
He's now starting. Yeah. He's starting for sure.
For the Pistons.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, that was bad. That was good.
I mean, we didn't. So I didn't play a ton.
Yeah.
But
basketball?
No, tennis.
Oh.
But I walked on.
Wait.
What?
What do you mean? You didn't play a ton. I thought you meant you didn't play a ton, and then all of a sudden you went and played college.
I played all in juniors. That's all I
remember. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
But I wanted to play. I walked on, and then I got on scholarship like a sophomore year, barely.
Right on.
But then I wonder if it's the same. Tennis, there's a lot of foreigners.
Yeah.
From like Sweden, Brazil, Portugal. Like I was like, these guys have been living their whole lives playing tennis. This softball, not like that.
No, we're like roughnecks. Like we're from like the hollers of Kentucky.
Everybody is.
No, I mean, everybody's usually from the U.S. Softball's not really. I mean, my wife played pro after college in Switzerland.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not competitive over there. It was more like for the experience. But yeah, it's mostly U.S. players.
It's more like that.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of yassing over there. They're like, No, it's definitely a U.S.-based sport.
Oh, I met my girlfriend. We have that in common, too. Journalism, Alabama, sports.
Wait, did she go to Alabama?
No, I met my girlfriend in the DMs. And you did, too.
That's how it goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah, except my girlfriend didn't follow me back. I had to pretty much... I stalked her. Now would be a good time to tell you I was the man in the basement. She didn't. I followed her.
And that man was me.
Yeah. It was me. No, I followed her. Didn't follow me back. So I hit
Start watching her stories?
No, bro. Once she didn't follow me back, I unfollowed her.
How long did you give her before you were like, okay, I'm not getting that follow back?
Interesting.
Was that a days or a weeks?
Probably about 4 days.
Yikes.
I didn't know
her. 4 days?
That's a tough 4 days.
I didn't know her. And I was like, okay, but she probably thinks I'm a creep. At this time, we didn't really have a large
Everybody
following.
Everybody that you follow has to follow you back?
No, but I needed this follow back. Like, this is something I needed.
Not all follows weigh the same,
John.
Exactly.
I've been there. Exactly.
There.
Yeah, you got to have that follow back.
Yeah.
So then what?
I followed her back like 2 weeks
later.
You
unfollowed her and followed her back?
like 3 weeks later, I hit her with the creep. I did. I'm not going to lie. Like, I.
This is a red flag.
You wanted this one, dude.
I manifested this.
Yeah.
All right. She's locked up in the basement at home right now.
Your mom wouldn't agree with manifesting. I'll tell you that. But
yeah, I tried to tell my mother one time that prayer was like manifesting. She didn't want to hear that. Yeah, it was, but when you think about it, it actually is.
There are some similarities, except the exact opposite, but there is some similarities.
Well, when you think about prayer, you're typically asking for something through thoughts and energy.
You are.
Which is a lot of what manifesting is, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like prayer, if you are constantly asking for, so you are more prone to act in a way that would manifest that.
Put feet to prayers.
Yeah. You would say it was your manifestation versus God, but going in the same direction, I suppose.
I could go down this rabbit hole for hours. Yeah. I just spoke to a friend who's really religious about this, or really religious, but we spoke about this. And I was like, you know, God knew that we have a really hard time with the spiritual way things work without physically being able to see things.
Yeah.
So he put his son in physical form so that we would have an easier time understanding what this meant of him dying for us.
Yeah.
And so he put him in physical form, sent him down to earth so that we could understand it better. But in reality, he's now in a spiritual form, an energetic form. And so it is a lot of energy work. That's all it is, really, is just energy work, because there is no physical form to it other than when you go and do fellowship with people in church or
have a casserole.
Yeah, have a casserole.
But we've had this conversation on the pod a couple times where we've had like the guys from Blurry Creatures, which is a podcast, and they talk about like other realms or other. So what is, if you are, there is the physical realm and then there's a supernatural. So you are praying or asking for, there's other factors at work. So he said, I felt God, or I felt the Holy Spirit maybe speaking to me, or I felt this sense of go talk to that person or reach out to that person and send a text. And they were like, I can't believe you just sent me this text. And you're like, well, what is,
I call those, like, I'm really, I love learning about this stuff, but there's these things from what I've learned that are like threads. So like my dad, for instance, him and I, we share a thread. And it's, you can't see it, but it's that feeling of like, I know my dad is having a really bad day.
Yeah.
And I'm sending that energy to him, or he's sending energy to me. And I'll call him and I'll be like, what's up, dad? And he's like, God, it's a bad day. Yeah. And we never told each other about that, but it's those energetic threads. And
that if you were a Christian, you would call that the Holy Spirit. But if you're not, you would call that
a
thread.
Yeah.
I am a Christian, but I also think just through my experience of just my life, and I think a lot of times we can use God's, and that's what I believe. When God says, "Don't take my name in vain," I don't think it has anything to do with saying GD.
Yeah.
There's no GD in the Bible. I think when God's saying, don't take my name in vain, he's saying, don't use my name to justify your agenda. Mm. And that's what I perceive that to be, is God saying, don't take my name in vain. Don't use me.
Trying to preach, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Well, don't use me and my love for people to justify your agenda. And sometimes that agenda is for good, but sometimes that agenda is for bad. And that's what I perceive to be, don't take my name in vain.
I think there's truth in that.
Yeah. It's not like God says in the Bible, don't say GD, but we somehow have managed. That's what taking God's name. I don't think
I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
So if you have like we come back to this a bunch, and you have a pastor with a private jet, and he's saying, I need to reach more people for the gospel. That's why I need this jet. So you're saying, You're using my name to justify your
agenda.
That could be an example. Sure. I think that's an example.
That's taking that's not really what I was about. Mm-hmm. That's not really why I came to earth.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of saying it. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to reach more people, but if you're, you know, overwhelming love for materialistic things is at the forefront and you justify that by saying you're going to reach more people for God, I think that's where you're taking God's name in vain.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you this. I didn't know if the conversation was going to go in this direction. But if it did, then I was going to ask you, is there seem to be a lot of, like, obviously you grew up in Alabama. Yeah. Your parents are religious. You still, what I gather to have a lot of, and your fans, I'm sure, a lot of love for those people.
Yeah.
And I used to perform in churches all the time. And I feel like in some ways the Christian community, I thought at one time they had turned their backs on me, but I go, man, I love those people. I don't take you for someone that is trying to, I see so many comics that have gone the other direction and they're pointing their fingers back at their childhood or the way they grew up. Or like, I can't believe, I don't gather that from you.
Yeah. I just really think you catch more bees with honey, you know, and I'm sure, like, there's no joke. There's been a lot of turning backs. Like, I haven't talked to my mom in 6 years because there's this relationship between her and I that just has reached the end of the road because she can no longer see past my relationship with my wife. So if I've ever had a reason to go that direction, that would be the reason. But I have to check myself when I want to live in a state of bitterness or a state of being mad. I have to ask myself, like, at the end of the day, that's not hurting anybody but me. And it poisons my well. It makes me feel like very empty at the end of the day. So I choose to just, I really try to just see the good in all people. And even if there is a group of people, say like a highly religious group of people that can't get past my relationship, at the end of the day, I believe that we're all entitled to our own opinion and our own belief system and our own religion. That's what makes the world operate in the way that it does. So I'm like, I would feel very contradictory if I wanted people to accept me for how I am, but I can't accept them for how they live. I just don't welcome those people into my personal space. I can still have a wonderful time with them and great conversation, but it's not people I'm going to go hang out with. And that's just how I live my life, is just be open-minded to other people if you want them to be open-minded to you.
Otherwise, they're going to be in the Facebook other messages inbox.
100%.
They're going to be over in that.
I ain't going to see you.
They're going to be over in that one.
I ain't going to see it.
I think in a lot of ways in my own journey that you do, and I feel like in comedy, I think I was telling a comic this yesterday, I go, you have one joke about every comic, you have one joke about the left or about the right or about Jesus or about your parents or about Latinos or about gay people or about whatever. You start to have like three or four or five in your show. Some people are like, I think he might have a problem.
Right.
And to your point, it hurts what you're trying to do. Like your own. I guess the way I'm trying to say it is your own baggage, your own anger, your own resentments. It's my job and no one else's to cut those off of my pack so I can deliver better art, right?
100%.
I sometimes look at the way I think the government is being run and I am so angry at it and I go, I'll take a shot every now and then, but if I keep... Then people go, hey,
he's got an agenda.
Yeah, he has and I don't care what, I don't care if your agenda is left, right, gay, straight, Christian, atheist. If you go into making art or living or being an employee or being a family member or being a friend, you go, yeah, he's carrying this.
Yeah.
And that's on no one else but you and me and you to whether it's conversation or education or therapy or your own work to rid yourself of it. Mm-hmm. It's still going to exist in the world. The comments are still going to come my way and your way. And it's your job to, we've seen people that come through this podcast that they come, something that has been done wrong to them.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, but you, that person hasn't thought about that since that day. You put it on.
Totally.
Every day you put it on.
One of my favorite quotes is, I believe it goes something like, you're not living your life.
Yeah.
You're living the life that you put energy behind. And I think that I like what you said. We've gotten so far away from us being in charge of our own feelings, us being in charge of our own baggage. And we need that baggage because the one thing we hate as humans is to look inward. And so it's easier to place that baggage on somebody else. For me, with my comedy, you know, comedy is very new to me in the sense of like it being an art or being what I'm doing. But I've had to be very particular to make sure that I'm not just perceived as a gay comic. I see so many people that they wear that as their entire personality. It's who I am. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. It's a piece of who I am. Just like you guys.
Just like us. What? Yeah. Tell us.
Well, like you guys. Seriously, just like y'all wouldn't make your entire sexuality about the women you're dating, your whole personality.
That'd be weird.
It would be weird. There's a lot of stereotypes that I can, you know, joke about. Like I look like I shop at Home Depot. Yeah, it's funny. You know, I mean, like I have a hat on and I look like I'm from Wayne's World. So it's funny, but it's, you know what I mean? But it doesn't have to be like the entire personality. And so if I ever move in that direction, I'm very conscious of it because I want to make sure that I can stand on my own two feet without always having to have a cane of it being gay forward or something like that. But
it's like, it would be similar with me with Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
They're like, he's a Christian comic. I talk a lot about my Christianity, my faith. In the show.
Because that's a part of who you are.
Yeah, but if somebody wasn't a Christian, they would love the show just as much as anyone else because they're like, yeah, that's the lens that you see the world through. But that's not, if you were like, he's just a Christian, I would be like, that's kind of disrespectful. Not disrespectful, but that's a small box.
Right.
Does your fan base reflect that?
Oh, it's funny.
They don't care about nothing but
that. It's funny because like you know, you'll be up on stage and you're like starting to make eye contact with people and there'll be like a guy that looks just like Larry the Cable Guy sitting next to a girl that, you know, has like a butch haircut and you're just like, so, cool. And that's what I want.
That's cool. Yeah.
That's what I want. I want my audience to be colorful. I don't want it to just be one person.
Yeah. Well, I think that, so I would say the majority of the ticket buyers at my show are female.
Yeah.
And that's in a lot of entertainment where the women are the ticket buyers.
And they'll bring them.
Yeah, the men will come with them. I don't think there's a lot of, I mean, at my meet and greet, this weekend there was like four dudes.
Yeah.
I go, y'all just, this is new. All right. There's a lot of girls' nights or a lot of, but I feel like, I bet the same with you, is the guys come, they're like, this is my wife always watching this guy's videos. He's in town, whatever, I'll go. And then they start to be like, oh, that's hilarious. And then they're into it.
Totally. I had this guy message me. He was tickled pink the whole show. I was down in Dania Beach in Florida. And
great club.
Yeah, great club. And he was like, he kept smiling the whole time. And I kept like focusing on him because his energy was so good. You know, I was like pulling from him. And then he messaged me like a week later and he was like, bro, that was the best show I've been to. Like my wife brought me to the show.
He said, brother, to you?
Oh, dude, I get dude, that's bro. Crazy. And I dig it.
Brother.
I will get dabbed up.
That's hilarious.
When a guy dabs me up, it turns me on. I've never been so close to being straight. Like when a guy dabs me up, it's like, bro, I got to go change. Like I freaking wild. Love it. Or when a
brother. Like, that's not even close. Yeah.
That's dirty talk.
What was awful though, the other day I was talking to this guy. He was giving me a quote from my house. And when we got off the phone, I was like, all right, man. I was like, well, just shoot me a text with that quote if you don't mind. And he's like, of course. I was like, all right, bro, I appreciate you. He goes, yes, sir. And I went, that's too far.
I said I liked it, not too far.
That's the line.
And he went, I'm so sorry. Yes, ma'am. I'm so sorry. But it's that comfort, like, I don't think guys are used to just feeling comfortable with a girl that's willing to bro it up, you know? But yeah.
That's hilarious, dude. Yo.
Enjoyed getting that message from
What's
him.
What's going
like,
on, brother?
Made my world.
Yeah, but you don't, you don't, as like there's no particular agenda to your work. And what I've seen of, I mean, I guess you do have that. You do own a truck, but.
Hell yeah, I do. It's only been in the shop 4 times last month for transmission problems, but.
Really? I can't. Sick. Yeah. A girl pulling up, and I dated a girl that drove a truck one time.
How'd it make you feel?
Big. I thought it was awesome.
What's her wife like now? Is she sweet or?
I don't think so.
Is she cute? Dang, was she cute?
Oh, man. All right. Where can people find you?
Instagram. Yeah. Instagram, TikTok. My wife and I have a podcast as well, Refined and Rowdy. And those are probably the big three.
And the First Horizon Park.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. June 3rd.
Is it? We going to be playing. We're playing softball. Is that baseball?
Yes. Yeah. Softball.
Former athletes all together. Danae Hayes, thank you for coming by.
Appreciate it, brother.
I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but it was a positive. It was a positive. Dude, you cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.